Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to shift gears today and go back over to the business world, although a lot of relevance to the financial world in general. And we've got a great guest. I'm talking about, of course, Beth Muthart, who sets all these up. I say we because she's 3 feet away from me, and I'm on good behavior. So I don't want the radio to sound good, so I know to be nice to Beth. But no, she did a great job of finding Madeline Bailey for us. And Madeline's got a great, interesting background. She's an entrepreneur, author, speaker, and QuickBooks expert. And she's got a website you can take a look at, QCComputing.com. And she's got a book that's everywhere. You can get on the website, of course, QCComputing.com, but also on where all fine books are sold. Radically Simple Accounting is the name of the book. And so we wanted to get Madeline to come on and talk with us and give a little different perspective. And I haven't really seen anybody else approach the subject of accounting and managing your business and keeping track of what's going on and understanding how everything works and understanding the nature of the relationships with accounting people. And it's just a very different take. So I'm really looking forward to this. So let's get her on the line and get started. Madeline, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, listen, I appreciate your time. I know that you've got gobs of experience. Did I read this right? 22 years of PC expertise?
Correct.
Wow. And so you've done a lot of work with software, done a lot of work as software developers. So you actually know how these things are actually built.
Yes, I've built some myself.
All right. And you and I have this something in common. We both started our companies in July of 1997.
Oh, okay.
How about that? Who would have thought that, and who would have lined that up? So that's pretty interesting. So you've done a lot of work with QuickBooks work with CPAs and Fortune 1000 firms, private accounting work, business analysts. So I'm really looking forward to your perspective on this. And I know you do a lot of speaking and talking about this. So let's do this. Let's kind of dive in the deep end of the pool, if you will. And just to give people an understanding, and I think this will make sense both for business owners out there and people that are at companies, small businesses, but also for people to understand the business world in general, investors and how they invest in companies that are publicly traded. And these companies, of course, have their accounting teams, and you know, the accounting is a big part of how the company's finances and success are reported. So let's dive in, and if you don't mind, share with us a little bit about who the players are, the people in the world of accounting. You know, kind of, is there like a hierarchy or something we can look at of kind of who does what?
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of misunderstanding about this, so let's talk about it and kind of clarify it here. So, like, in the world of, my expertise is in the world of private businesses. I do work for larger companies, but my expertise definitely is with privately held businesses. So that's the world I know. That's the world I'm going to talk about. So in that world, like, your kind of top person would be your tax attorney. And your tax attorney would be somebody you would use if you had, if you were being audited. But in states, for state taxes, which are quite different, like I live in Seattle area, so this is Washington state taxes, and the tax board even asked you, they said, you know, if you don't like how we're ruling your taxes, go ahead and ask for a different ruling. So people will get a tax attorney just to ask for a kind of different ruling. It's actually done fairly often here. So those are times when you really want to bring in a tax attorney and pay the big bucks. The next person kind of on that hierarchy would be like a tax expert. And your tax expert could be a CPA, but they could also be an EA. So I think people don't understand that CPA is an educational degree. It's like a law degree. It doesn't mean that you're going to go into this field or that field. But if a CPA does decide to do taxes, that would be a good choice for doing your taxes. But also an EA, that stands for enrolled agents, and they're licensed to practice before the IRS. So they're going to do taxes probably all year long, and they could be quite good too. So what would be somebody else to work for.
Madeline, let me ask you a question right there on that point. What do you say to people who have, you know, let's say they have just their individual tax return, or maybe even a business, and they have a quote unquote a friend do it that's not a CPA or an enrolled agent. You know, somebody that, like, maybe they're retired and they do some tax work on the side. What do you think about non-CPA, non-enrolled agents doing taxes?
Well, you know, I think that you should use your, you should like always be trying to make money. My tax person makes me money every year. So why wouldn't I use them? And then on top of that, IRS loves that it's signed off by somebody else. Basically, they're auditing it. So you're protecting yourself from an audit. So basically, you just saved yourself a lot of hours and money. Why would you not do that? Like, it doesn't make any sense not to pay somebody who's quite good to make you money, you know, take the job off your hands, make you money, and keep you from having an audit. Like, why wouldn't somebody do that?
That's a good question. I don't want an audit. I don't want that. But no, please do not come and camp out at my office for 6 weeks. No, thank you. So,
right. And if you could pay somebody to make you money, wouldn't you do that all day long? I mean, instead of calling in a favor, you can pay somebody and they're going to make you money.
Yeah. And keep the wolves at the door. Keep them off your back. And, you know, because I've seen this. It was a little bit of a loaded question, I'll confess now, Madeline, because I've seen this and I'm like, you know, you can pay a professional. It's not going to cost much more. Or, you know, we're not talking about millions of dollars here, okay? We're talking about hundreds of dollars, maybe for a basic tax return, maybe a little more if it's more complicated. But good grief. Good grief, Charlie Brown. Get it done professionally.
Right. But it's not just the audit. Like, any good tax person is going to make you money. Like, they're going to find more, like, ways. There's so many ways. People think, oh, there's only one way to do taxes. Not true. There's like many ways to do taxes. I mean, I can sit down, I don't do taxes, and I can sit down and do my own taxes three different ways. So, you know, and I'll come up with three different answers of what I owe. Well, my tax person, every year he comes up with like, I never cease to be stunned by like, I don't owe as much as I thought I owed.
That's a good thing.
I'm delighted, and he charges less than he saves me every year. So, like, if I can pay somebody to make me money, that seems like a no-brainer to me.
That'll work. So you got your tax attorney, you got your tax expert, be it a CPA or enrolled agent, and then what else do you have? You have accountants and bookkeepers?
Right. Yeah. So I think the misconception on that hierarchy is that what does a bookkeeper do? Like, all a bookkeeper does is maintain your books. Like, it has to be set up right for them. The system has to be in place, and they're going to keep doing what they know how to do. That's what they do. And you know, it's wonderful to have somebody to answer your phone. It's wonderful to have clerical people. It's wonderful to have a bookkeeper. But don't think that that person knows how to do any more than maintain whatever you've given them to do and do exactly what you've told them to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And now when we go inside the company, you know, you're talking about some of these outside experts, but then you get inside, you're talking about the bookkeeper. But even before that, though, if we kind of go from the hierarchy, what's at the top of the internal structure for a lot of businesses there who, in terms of the actual financial aspects of the company?
Right. So inside the company, you're going to have like a CFO, a chief financial officer, who's going to help you decide like how to create budgets, you know, should we expand, and just make all these kind of financial decisions that absolutely make or break a company. And so a lot of small business owners act as their own CFO, but then I say, well, you went into business to do what you did really well, and that wasn't accounting. So maybe you have a fool for a CFO if you're trying to be your own CFO. I mean, you really need to bring in an external CFO or get some kind of help. Your accountants can act in that capacity, but usually they don't necessarily know how to make those kind of hard decisions.
Well, Madeline, you'll love this. I mean, I'm a CPA since 1992, and I don't do my own taxes. I don't do my own company's books. I have a CPA that works for me that he's a VP of our tax department and also takes care of all the controller CFO work. And, you know, that's not what I do. I do the financial and all the other type of planning I do for my clients. And, you know, you got to specialize and put your time where, you know, really where it belongs.
Yeah, well, it's the same way with me. Like, I work for a lot of CFOs, and people are like, why do you work for a CFO? And, you know, they bring me in because they just, in a privately held business, if you're the CFO, who do you talk to about your decisions? You know, you don't have anyone else, so they bring me in. And I mean, I work for a lot of people like this. I work for people, they say, well, you know, I have an MBA and stuff. So I think once you're in the industry and you understand about these different, like, hierarchy and who you need, you know, what kind of expertise you need to bring in and how much money that's going to make you, you're going to use these services a lot more.
Well, and that kind of brought me to the point, and I think you've partially answered, where you fit into this hierarchy. You're kind of like a consultant or an analyst.
Right. Well, one of the things I bring to this that's not on that list is software experts.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're running our businesses with QuickBooks, and none of these people are necessarily software experts. And I got into this business as a techie, so I learned the QuickBooks first. So definitely, like, I'm a QuickBooks expert, which really helps in, like, setting up QuickBooks, you know, if you want to set it up well and set it up for the company.
Okay.
And so, yeah, and I've trained myself to be an accountant, and I have a degree in business, so I'm a business analyst. So, you know, people bring me in as an outside resource, either to run ideas off me or to set up their QuickBooks or like that. So that's kind of, you know, you can use these kind of, I'm like an external consultant person that any of these people could bring in.
Excellent. Madeline Bailey, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, entrepreneur, author, speaker, QuickBook expert, Radically Simple Accounting, that's the book. And her website is qccomputing.com. Quick break, we'll come back with Madeline.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our Y has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. With a focus on healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility, there are many different options to get your family involved, such as sports, swim, exercise, and much more. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and fitness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
And we're back. Madeline Bailey on the line with us, qccomputing.com, the book, Radically Simple Accounting. And I want to shift gears, Madeline, if we can, and talk a little bit about, you know, you talked about these different people that might be involved with either external or internal to the business as it relates to accounting and tax expertise, all those things. Here's kind of an obvious question, maybe even sounds a little, I don't know, a little off the wall, but or maybe so obvious, is how do you hire good ones? How does somebody find, you know, for example, the tax attorney? How does somebody find a really good tax attorney?
Right. So you can use, you know, the usual search message, referrals, Google, LinkedIn, respond to advertising. Of course, that's the obvious one. Beyond that, like, let's say you're hiring a tax attorney. Some people go for the big firms. And then, you know, I guess my suggestion there is to, you know, give them the smallest possible retainer you can and see if they're doing a good job. Like, you know, there's a lot of prestige within that profession and a lot of, you know, posturing. And, you know, maybe just because they're a big firm or they had a great reputation before you hired them, they're not necessarily doing a good job for you. So be willing to, like, look at that with your own gut feeling, like, is this going well, and change if they're not. I see people get stuck there with yeah. who they hire the first time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, and you make an interesting observation about looking for a tax expert. Somebody needs to have their tax return done or get accounting help or QuickBooks and all that. You suggest that they, you know, you don't hire them in the middle of tax season, right? I mean, talk to them maybe in the off season?
Right, especially with tax people. Like, most tax people who are very good aren't going to have time at all to talk to you during tax season, which is April 15th, and then there's another one around October 15th for the late filers. So, you know, call them in the off season. Like, right now is the off season. Mm-hmm. This is the perfect time to start calling around and finding yourself a new tax person, because they're slow right now. And also, the other thing about, you know, tax people in your off season is, like, I have a phone call with, like, tax people don't really, I think the biggest misconception about tax people, and I think where people get disappointed a lot, and it's only because of their own misconception, is that tax people do not give you advice on deduction. Not especially for the year past that you've just
mm-hmm.
done.
Mm-hmm.
But you can ask them questions about, like, for the future. Like, so every year I have a call with my tax person, and I say, here's what's going on this year. You know, how would you recommend I classify it? How would you like those numbers turned in? But it's a preemptive question, like, I haven't turned it in yet. And they are not going to risk their license to save you 50 cents. They don't care. Like, the whole point of using a tax person is to have somebody sign off that it's been audited. So that's what they're going to do for you. So if you want advice about, like, deductions or you know, any kind of thing, like, am I missing on something? Like, things you don't even know about. Like, what am I missing?
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to ask those questions, like, in their off season.
Yeah, because at the heart of the crunch time in tax season, you know, February, March, and of course, beginning of April, it's, you know, they're not going to be sitting around waiting for you to call or be able to call you. You know, they're already got people they're having to pull teeth on that haven't maybe gotten everything they need to get the work done. And but, you know, if you find somebody that's worthwhile and that you really like, what do you recommend next step? You know, do you try to retain them and try to get on their schedule, so to speak?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, with your tax expert. I mean, and the thing is, like, if you do have a tax person who's, you know, pulling teeth to get your paperwork, well, I don't know, like, that's, you're lucky, because a lot of tax people won't do that. They'll just say, too bad, you're a late filer.
Right. Yeah, we already filed an extension for you because we knew you weren't going to get it to us. Well, and I know that you are a big believer of, you know, treating them respectfully, because I think sometimes people look at the tax preparers as just, you know, kind of dumping stuff on them and, hey, just put it in the software and crunch out the thing. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know that they get, I'm not even talking about CPAs, not about just about anybody, any tax preparer that, I don't know, they just don't really seem to sometimes get the respect they deserve.
Yeah, and that's, once again, like, that's what we're talking about. That's not their job. That's what an accountant does. That's what a bookkeeper does. That's not the job of a tax person. So if you're asking them to do something that's not their job, it's kind of like, you know, asking your yard guy to come clean your house. Like, how good is that going to look, you know?
Right. Well, and also, you know, I think people need to be realistic about expectations of calling somebody, and especially the late filers. And there are very legitimate reasons, as you know, Madeline, for filing later in the year and going on an extension or two. But so I think people just need to be a little more realistic about this.
Right. I mean, yeah. So the other part of that is that, you know, that we haven't talked about is, like, if that's all you're doing, you're accounting for, is to do taxes, well, you're missing out on the biggest part of the benefit of doing accounting.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's only, like, doing accounting for taxes is one reason to do taxes, but a much bigger reason to do your accounting is to know where you're at financially.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All
well,
year
that,
long.
Exactly. And that's actually going to bring us to the next point about where the business owner fits into this hierarchy. So hold right there. We'll come right back to that. Madeline Bailey, ladies and gentlemen, entrepreneur, author, speaker, QuickBooks expert. Radically Simple Accounting is her book, and the website, qccomputing.com. Where does a business owner fit into this hierarchy? Right after the break.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? Overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years? That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Hey there, welcome back. Madeline Bailey on the line with us, helping us kind of untangle, unwind, distill down this thing called accounting and how it relates to taxes and the business owners out there. We had another interesting subject we'll get to right here. Radically Simple Accounting is Madeline's book, and qccomputing.com is her website. So where does the business owner out there listening to this program, Madeline, where do they fit into the hierarchy of, you know, the finances, and you talked about the bookkeeping and all of that? Where do they fit into this whole equation?
Well, first of all, they have to hire these people and retain them and manage them. So that's the first job. That's why we cover this. Like, you have to be smart enough to realize you didn't go into business to do accounting. You went into business because you were brilliant at something, or you had a passion for something. It probably wasn't accounting. It probably wasn't taxes. So bring in the good people to do this for you so that you can successfully do what it is you do well. And, so that's the first part of it. The second part of it is that you have to look at the financial report. So you have to learn how to read your own financial report. And if you're an investor, you kind of have a heads up. But I've worked for venture capitalists who, you know, I worked for a venture capitalist who bought a winery. And he said, I don't know the first thing about how to do this. So teach me how to read my, you know, how to get my own financial reports and read them and manage my own small business. So, you know, you have to learn how to do this. And, how do you learn how to read a financial report? Well, that's one reason I wrote the book. I wrote the book because people don't know how to do that. And I wanted to help them do that, learn how to do that.
Well, and I think that, you know, a lot of people, that you're right, they go into it and they're like, all right, I'm not really, you know, this kind of expert, and I really want to focus on, you know, the sales and the marketing, or actually delivering the service or whatever it is. And there are a lot of other functions for the owners of the company and the other executives or other key people. And one of the key messages I'm hearing from you, really pretty loud and clear, Madeline, is don't be cheap. I mean, don't be cheap about getting good advice. You know, you can pay very little for some tax advice or tax help or bookkeeping and all that. You can pay very little if you really try hard, but you're going to get what you pay for.
Yeah. Right. I think the misconception is that everybody counts accounting as overhead. So, okay, this is overhead. I have to do this. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't need to be that way. It could be a source of revenue. Like, your accountants are going to make you a ton of money. You know, good accountants are going to make you a ton of money. Good tax people are going to make you a ton of money. This one class that I went to, called Profit Mastery, so they take a $200,000 small business, okay? So that's really small, you know, that's very, very small business. And they go through this thing called a roadmap that's on my website, and it lists all the kind of, like, normal bookkeeping mistakes people would make, not collecting fast enough, not managing the inventory, you know, not paying bills properly, too much debt, whatever, like all the kind of simple kind of bookkeeping mistakes people will make, and they find $65,000 that it's costing the company. So $65,000 on $200,000, that's like a lot of money. This kind of accounting help, the good tax help, the good people here are going to make or break your business.
Yeah. Well, and if you don't have a good grip on your business, for those business owners out there, if they don't really have a good grip of where they are and what's going on, or even to the next point I wanted to get to, you know, it's really a red flag. And one of the things that I want to make sure we have time to talk about, Madeline, is, you know, being able to have clarity about your business and know where you are. And, you know, if somebody's out there listening and they're trying to say, you know, I just don't really feel like I got a good handle on this, what's the first thing you would say to them?
I would say, let's sit down and clean up your chart of accounts, because your chart of accounts is the list of accounts that makes up your financial reports. And my experience has been repeatedly that once a business owner understands their financial reports, once I can get them to sit down and read it, they actually make excellent decisions. They know their business. They know their industry. They know what needs to happen. They weren't dummies. I mean, they didn't go into business because they were stupid. They're smart people. If once you give them the information they need, like, they make good decisions. They make good financial decisions. They know how to grow the business. They know how to stay in business. So once I teach them, like, the importance of getting that information and going over that information and looking at it, then they do act like good CFOs, actually. Like, I have the ultimate respect for my business owner clients. But they're smart enough to bring me in and say, you know, teach me how to do this. Help me do this. Help me set up my QuickBooks right, so that I'm getting good financial information. Help teach me how to read a financial report. Like, what do I need to know from my tax return? Mm-hmm. Like, I have this big tax return sitting in front of me. Is there anything I need to look at on there?
Mm-hmm. Well, so they need data. They need good information. And then what kind of advice do they need, you know, what kind of advice might a business owner need to be able to kind of really somebody else's perspective and say, hey, here's what you need to do? What kind of advice do they look for?
Mostly what I do is actually listen. I find that they need very, very little advice, actually,
okay.
And that they need a lot of listening.
Okay.
They need, like, a sounding board, because it's very isolated running a privately held business. And so you need somebody to, like, mostly what I do is help them learn how to get this information and force them to sit down. Like, you know, I joke, I'm your reminder. We have to sit down.
Right.
We have to go through this financial report. And how you go through a financial report actually is not complicated. You go through it line by line. You say, here's my first line. What does this line say? What does this number mean? Here's the second line. What does this line say? What does this number mean? And if you don't understand what those lines are and what those numbers mean, then you need somebody such as myself to help you get a better financial report, you know, created in the first place. And then you will know what those numbers mean. And once they know what those numbers mean, they start talking to me about, well, maybe I should do this or maybe I should do that. And it's usually correct. I'm usually like, yeah, you should.
Well, so yeah, bottom line, they need to know where they are and what's going on. And we've got just about a minute left, Madeline. What would you say are some tricks or strategies that business owners can look at to become more profitable? What are some things they need to be looking at?
I think they need to be looking at their financial reports. That's what I think they need to be doing, and they're not. So that's my biggest advice, like, then, start reading your financial reports.
Yeah, and maybe when we get to near year end, you know, like around Thanksgiving time each year, they can, you know, if you wait till January 1st to look at making changes, it's too late for that tax year. So
right.
You
this
get
is the perfect time to have everything cleaned up to Thanksgiving, and then I always book all my regular clients at Thanksgiving. We do our yearly review then. That gives you a month to make any kind of last-minute changes you want that can affect your taxes. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't. There's not much you can do once you get past the end of the year. I mean, you can't
there's
say.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, no. I remember I did spend that back in October. Didn't I tell you? No. We got to do it timely. Very interesting stuff, Madeline. So, any final thoughts for our listeners?
You know, just that you're the king or queen of your business, and people are out to get your throne. So, if you want to protect it, you need to be doing these financial things preemptively.
Amen to that. Yeah, because there is always a joker and a jester in the court, so be careful. Madeline Bailey, ladies and gentlemen, entrepreneur, author, speaker, QuickBooks expert, Radically Simple Accounting. How about that? That's the name of the book, QCComputing.com. And very glad you stopped by to talk with us, Madeline. It's been a pleasure, and we enjoyed it very much. Helpful insight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.